The Armstrong and Getty Show. Welcome. Barry Manilow is on the line. You could be dancing in the aisles to this very song, Copacabana, waving your arms in the air and singing. When Barry Manilow is going to be at the Valley View Casino Center in San Diego on April 11th, the Sleep Train Arena in Sacramento on April 17th. Keep my Copacabana going. And also at the SAP Center in San Jose on April 18th. We, of course, broadcast in all those areas. Or maybe you're going to, like, rent an RV and travel around and hit all the shows. As you can't get enough Barry Manilow. When I was a kid, and Barry Manilow was such a huge deal when I was a kid in the 70s, I would have never thought I'd be talking to Barry Manilow, but he is here. Barry Manilow, welcome to the Armstrong and Getty Show. Thanks for joining us this morning.
Thank you. Is that Jack I'm talking to?
Yeah, it is. This is me, Jack, and it is it's nice to talk with you, Barry. And I hope
Jack, that song sounds pretty good, even a million years later after we recorded it. It sounds pretty good.
What do you think is your best known tune? And I know that's tough when you've had 50 top 40 hits. What's your best known song?
It's always Copacabana. Even though Mandy was big and I Write the Songs was big and Can't Smile Without You was big, it always gets back down to Copacabana, which is always the big surprise because it was the song that kind of snuck off that Even Now album, and the record company didn't believe in it, but the public loved this song, and that's the one that is the most requested.
How about you? Did you believe in the song? Do you generally know, or did you generally know throughout your career, the ones that were going to be big hits, or are you often surprised by which ones catch on and which ones don't?
No, I'm real bad at predicting hits for myself or even for other people. I haven't got a radio ear. I mean, you know, Clive Davis, the guy that's guided my career of my record company, he has the world's greatest radio ears. I don't have that. And Copacabana, yeah, I thought it was great, but I never would have predicted that it would become a hit.
Well, that's interesting. Like I said, 50 top 40 hits. Barry Manilow has sold 80 million records, 80 million, which is amazing, 14 Grammy nominations. And your TV specials used to be so huge. I was talking about this the other day. I think in my lifetime, I can only remember the only really big artists that would have a TV special that would get huge ratings. Elvis could do it. Garth Brooks was doing it in the 90s, and you did it. Those are the only three I can think of.
Well, you know, they don't do that anymore. The networks, they don't, I guess they don't like music specials anymore. But when I was, when it was in the 70s, everybody was doing music specials. And, you know, they were fun to do. You'd put together a concept and you'd have guests. And, you know, everybody would sing medleys. And, you know, it was fun to do. But they don't do that anymore.
Are you even amazed yourself if you look back on that time in the 70s when you were so huge that you could, you know, you make time stop with a TV special that would come on? And I remember every kid in class when I was a kid would watch it. We'd talk about it the next day. I mean, is it even amazing to you to look back on that era?
It is. It is. You know, I look back on the day I recorded Mandy, you know, this young guy, I had recorded 10 songs that week and hoping that one would, you know, make it on the radio, and Mandy was one of them. And I finished it. It was a beautiful little performance, and I went home. I picked up the dry cleaning. I fed the dog. I just had a regular life, and then a month later, my life exploded into a million pieces. I had no idea that this would happen.
So the fame, the big fame came on you that fast?
Yeah, when you get a hit record, it happens real fast. When the public connects with it, it happens.
How did you avoid going the direction of so many stars who get that kind of overnight success where, you know, you get the drug problems or personal problems or whatever, can't handle all that money all of a sudden? How did you stay on the straight and narrow?
Well, number one, I was older. I wasn't 19 when this happened.
That helps.
I see these kids on American Idol and The Voice and all, you know, I say a little prayer for them because sometimes I think fame is more difficult to handle than failure. And what happens when fame hits, you know, your life changes and people start to treat you differently. And if you're young, you buy into it, you know. And I wasn't. And most of all, if I ever give advice about that, I would say to young kids, keep your family and your old friends close when that hits because they know who you are. They won't let you become crazy. They'll say, what are you doing? And they'll keep you grounded because the trick is to stay grounded when this hurricane of success is hitting you. But like you say, there are some people that, you know, they go flying into the hurricane and their life is bad.
And then what's it like when it crests and it kind of starts to drop off? I mean, you've been hugely successful for a very, very long time, but, you know, it peaks at some point. Is that hard to take, or is it almost refreshing in a way?
Well, you know, my kind of career, at least, it's a roller coaster. It goes up and down and up and down. And, you know, the first time it went down, it was terrible, you know, because I just like so many others, I thought this would last forever, and it can't. And it goes down, and you go back to work, and you brush yourself off, and you start all over again. And then it went up again, and then it goes down again, and that's called a career. And I've been a lucky guy because it's lasted for a long time.
We're talking with Barry Manilow, who's going to be in San Diego and Sacramento and San Jose, among other towns, and we'll hit you with those dates again. And also, that's at our website, armstrongandgettyradio.com. I notice it's the One Last Time tour. Do I take that to believe this is the last time you're doing this?
Yes, absolutely.
You sound enthusiastic about it. Why is this the last time?
I think.
Oh, okay, gotcha. You're going to be like the Eagles?
No, as of now, this is the last one. I mean, these big tours, I know it's the end of the big tour. You know, those are, you know, I'm 95 years old. it's really a younger person's gig, you know. But that doesn't mean I don't want to do it anymore. You know, it'll be one-nighters, it'll be another TV show, it'll be another album, you know. But the big touring, I'm going to stop that. This is the last one of those.
Now, the younger guys that we got here on the crew, they're mostly intrigued by the fact that you're so famous for writing all these commercial jingles, the Kentucky Fried Chicken, Dr. Pepper, Pepsi, McDonald's, State Farm Insurance. You did that stuff before you got big?
I did. That's how I paid the rent. I was a musician and a songwriter, and I, they're right. I did State Farm Insurance. State Farm is there, and I am stuck on a Band-Aid. And many more, you know, you deserve a break today. And you know, that's how I paid the rent, and it was great. I learned a lot working with these great musicians, and then the pop record career hit.
How do you write a jingle? So do you sit down with a bucket of chicken and a pen and paper, and you just...
No, that's funny. They give you the lyric, commercial company, they give you the lyric, and they give the lyric to about 10 composers, and whichever composer comes up with the catchiest melody gets the spot. So that's the way they deal with it.
And there was enough money in writing these jingles, and there's some big ones. I mean, these are some that you know, have decades of staying power. Was there some decent money in that?
Actually, there wasn't, because they buy you out. So for like that State Farm Insurance commercial that I wrote all those years ago, over 40 years ago, I got $500.
Really?
That was it. Because, you know, they think it's going to play for 1 month. Who could know that it was going to play for 40 years? So for $500 at that time, that was pretty good. I said thank you, and that was great. But you don't get residuals if you write it. You get residuals if you're on the spot. If you're actually singing on the spot or talking on the spot, but you don't get it as the composer.
I always like to ask this of very successful songwriters. Who are a couple of your favorite songwriters?
The first one is Sting, always Sting. My answer is always Sting. I'm just, you know, I think he's not only a great writer, but a great human being. So that's my answer. And these days I'm crazy about Bruno Mars. Who else? Who isn't?
Wow, cool. Very hip. So you're going to sing all the classics if people come out to see your show?
I am. That's my goal. This year is to celebrate 40 years of songs. And so that's my goal. I'm going to try to squeeze in as many. I'm one of the lucky guys that's got a catalog of songs that people wouldn't recognize, or at least some people would recognize. And that's my goal this year.
Awesome. Barry Manilow's One Last Time tour, which may not be the last time. You know, if your health is good, you might do it again. Valley View Casino Center in San Diego on April 11th. Sleep Train Arena in Sacramento on April 17th. SAP Center in San Jose on April 18th. Barry Manilow, thanks for coming on the show with us today. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you too, Jack. You were great. Bye-bye, everybody.